In the name of Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. First of all, I'm really grateful to God who has brought us here safe. Secondly, Father Luca and all of you. Please forgive me if you don't understand my English. I just like to share something about my past. I was in Alabama. I couldn't pronounce that time exactly Alabama, but I used to call it Alabama. And Alabama is like, for me, it was not a country in America, but maybe in Arabia somewhere. So I was working here in Alabama, and God really called me there. Before that, I used to be a Roman Catholic priest. Throughout of my life, I was altar boy. Soon after my graduation, I went to the seminary, Roman Catholic seminary. I was there for 8 years. And then I was ordained a priest, 1980. So, 93, I just quit the Roman Catholic priesthood. It was not because I wanted to get married, because I was facing another problem. I was not happy there because the people with whom I was working, and those were more business-minded people. So I was really not getting along with them. So I wanted to be away from them, and I was looking for the transfer from there, moving from that parish to other parish, but it was not working for me. So I just applied for the sabbatical, because I was almost like 12 years in the Roman Catholic Church being priest. So they accepted my application, and I came out of the church, and then I decided not going back to the church. So I was trying here and there. I came to England, and I applied there for this Anglican church. Bishop of London, he was interested, and he accepted my application. But when I was interviewed with the archdeacon, so he just told me, he said, better go back home to Pakistan and get the membership, which was really difficult for me. So I decided not to just join any church. I came to New York, and I did clinical pastoral education, and then I got job in Alabama. So there, I really felt God was calling me. When I came to this certain church, which was still Episcopal church, but soon after that, it became into the CEC. And first time I came here, it was 1996. There was a convocation here. And then 97, they accepted me as priest. As soon as they accepted me as priest, and God give me the word. Once I was sitting in the pews, like, and preacher was preaching about extend the tent of the Lord. Who is going to his mission? And I stood up. I really didn't know. And this priest, he said, if you are going back, who is going to support you? I said, I don't know, Father, but I know one thing. Jesus said, first seek the kingdom. So, 97, when I came here, that time I was accepted as priest, and I left back for home. So this place is really very important for me, as I believe God anointed me here in this land. And then 98, I was nominated as bishop, and 99, I was consecrated as bishop here. So that was my calling back home to Pakistan. That was the country where really I ran away from that country. And again, God wanted me to go back home. So this today's first reading, I was just meditating on that. So I was just thinking, Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I know you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Here we see Jeremiah's call and vision of reassurance. The Lord brings irresistibility before Jeremiah. His purpose for him, there is no imagery but an overpowering conviction of predestination from his life work as a prophet. Jeremiah regards himself as set apart to his particular work before his birth. It required only the divine impulse to send him forth a prophet only to his own, not only to his own, but to the nations of the world. And the name Jeremiah means Jehovah hurls. And I believe God has really given me also a special name. Even though it is like Indian name, Prakash. But Prakash means the divine light. And Masi. Masi is like the follower of Messiah. And Yohanna is the name which I gave for my family, Yohanna. But Yohanna is my baptism name. And I believe God has called me from the womb of my mother. God also calls us. How do we hear God's word? with our ears alone? Do we hear God's word with our mind alone? Many people have made a tragedy of their lives because they could not make up their minds. Therefore, we are to hear God's word with our hearts. Only the ear of the heart is like the lover's ear that will hear even the lowest sound when God speaks. We have to open our souls to God's word unless we want to sell our souls and live with a good conscience on the proceeds. Whenever I just go somewhere to speak about, I am really reluctant, because when I come here, I speak English. And it is just for a month or for 2 months. When I go back home, all the time I speak Urdu, Pashto, or Punjabi, which are that languages which are spoken in our country. So English is really not because when I was in sixth grade, I started learning ABC. But thanks be to God, still I can express myself. Amen. Last Sunday Gospel, Jesus talked about, he gave actually the inaugural speech, and Jesus explained his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has appointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Jesus would accomplish his works by the Holy Spirit. Without this anointing, he would have been a powerless man, incapable of a single spiritual victory. But through the Holy Spirit, the very work of God would be accomplished. At the start, the members in the synagogue were delighted with Jesus' gracious speech. When Jesus announced the fulfillment of Israel's prophecy, the people were joyful but uncommitted. However, the longer they thought about the matter, they turned and became outraged by this. In today's gospel, Jesus set forth a straightforward rebuke by reminding them of how this same attitudes existed in Elijah's time, and that because of it, God went to a Gentile and blessed her. In other words, Jesus identified his audience with those doubtful Jews of Elijah's day. Jesus has a message of power and deliverance for us because he recognizes a critical and negative spirit when it exists in our hearts. The soul that receives God's word will experience joy even though his body may be burnt upon a wheel of fire. And it is a responsibility of those who experience the joy of the good news to share with their neighbors. God Himself lays this responsibility on every Christian at baptism, saying, as said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I dedicated a prophet to the nation, I appointed you. God's love and future favor incite us to share the good news He has given us. And what of the love we profess, like in today's second reading? A love that is patient and kind, a love that is not self-seeking and never fails. The greatest gift we can offer a person is the good news. And as I went back home to Pakistan, and we are just working there, like more or less like 20 years back, when I back to Pakistan, I started a parish on the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan. And there was like 6 family that time. But slowly, slowly, it started growing. And now we are in the 8-9 cities in Pakistan. So these are God's work. This is not because this is not my mission. This is God's mission. And God has purpose in our lives. He can use us with our limited resources. If we don't have churches, actually, we have one church which is an extension of my own home. We can't call it church. There are so many churches. They are like Roman Catholic or Anglican Church, Episcopalian Church there. But those are guarded by the police all the time. Police live there 24 hours, 7 days a week. We can't afford, but still we are surviving there. And whatever we are doing, that is just for the glory of God we are doing there. When first time I went back, it was 97. And then again I came from Pakistan here, because where we used to live, that area was very heavy for us, very hard, because beside our home in the neighborhood, we used to have 3 madrasas. It was 2008, and my daughter's school were bombed 3-4 times. So we couldn't send our daughters to the school, because the Taliban or the terrorist group, they really don't accept, you know, this girls should have more education. So then I decided to come to the state, because before that I became citizen. And I just, you know, I was able to bring my family here. we stayed in North Carolina for 1 year. And again, I got actually job also in Florida. But when I was supposed to join that job, God again gave me word going back home. Within 1 month, we were able to set our family here, settled our family, and Father Drew Wales, he really helped us a lot. And my daughters, they stayed here. One was gone to Oregon with Father Jim, and the other was with Father Drew. And that one of my daughters, she is in U.S. Army now. She is in California, and she is now promoted sergeant. Sergeant? I think sergeant. I'm not sure, you know, so I have to ask my wife. But she is also doing some other training, taking some courses. And my second daughter, she is 17 years old. She is in Houston. Also, my son is also in Houston. He's 19 years old. And the other son is 12 years old. He is sixth grade. So, it's really God who does marvelous things for us. Now, without any worry, we can work, you know, for His mission. And He's taking care of our own family. So the place where I am coming from is lot of things are going on at the moment there. There is a political disturbance. There is all over the land. There is terrorist activity all around us. But we believe, and we Christians rejoice in being a minority in Pakistan, powerless and weak, because it is our weakness, powerlessness, and minority position that we have an important gospel role to play for the welfare, progress, and prosperity of our beloved country and its people. Jesus washed the feet of His disciples and welcomed everyone. This compassion and care was not reserved for Christian or His follower, but for anyone. Our world is broken by war, by ethnic and racial hatred and religious intolerance. And there is religiously motivated violence all around us. But we believe God has called us to give the good news. So, I would like to share at the end a Chinese proverb. If you want to plant for 1 year, plant grain. If you plant for 10 years, plant fruit trees. If you plant for 100 years, plant men. But if we add, being Christian, if you plant for eternity, plant the word of God, the word of life. And this is the good news. So we are there. God will take care. Our duty is to plant the seed, and its own time it will be having its own proceeds.